All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 6:30. I'm going to call this meeting to order. First item on the agenda, as always, is the Pledge of Allegiance. Tonight, we're going to be led by Councilmember Dahl.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thanks everybody for coming out. I appreciate you taking the time to come see us. First thing on the agenda is a little bit of a presentation. We have a presentation from Helena Food Share, and we have Kara Snyder here for this one. Would you like to go ahead?
Good evening. My name is Patty White. I'm the Director of Communications. I'm joining Kara tonight. So thank you, Mayor Harris, for inviting us and council members. We just want to share a little bit about what's happening at Helena Food Share right now and the impact here in Easttown.
And I'm Kara Snyder. I'm the Program Director at Helena Food Share. Is there any way? I think this was maybe a couple slides.
It
And
is.
thank you, Amy.
There we go.
Great. And actually, one forward. Welcome. So, yeah, like Patty said, I just wanted to take a few minutes really to tell you guys a little bit about what Helena Food Share is, where we've been. And then Patty will kind of take it away with a little bit of what we look like now and our future as well. And then I imagine there will be some time if you guys have any questions too. But just kind of a little overview. So, some of the services that we do, we have our market. So, basically, our grocery store in Helena. It's at 12 Boulder Avenue. And we also have a mobile pantry here in East Helena. So, that's at the United Methodist Church on Prickle. And then we have a couple different mobile pantries. So, we actually go out to Lincoln every other week. We go to the Pierview and then the VA as well. And then as well as a couple of the different congregate living sites and around Helena. So I think altogether probably I think about five or six sites on a monthly basis. And then we just looked this up just before, but our East Helena pantry was started in 2010, or no, I'm sorry, 2009. Thank you, Patty. So we have been in, basically doing offering the same kind of service that we offer in Helena, in here in East Helena as well. So kind of what that looks like is we really do just have a grocery store. The only difference being that we don't ask people to pay for groceries at the end of their shopping experience. And so in 2010, when we started that out here in East Helena, it looked very similar. It was just a whole lot smaller because we had to pack it into that little area inside the church. And then when COVID came, we actually started doing a bit, you just walk up, it was a grab and go box essentially. And so there was no choice in the service. You just came, grabbed a box, and then left. And so we did that in Helena, and we did that at the East Helena Pantry as well. After COVID ended, we went back to a choice-based shopping service inside, but we never did that in East Helena. And just to give you an idea, numbers wise, we'll talk a little bit about that at the end as well. But we might see somewhere around 20 families every Monday or Thursday when we were open at the church. And now we're seeing sometimes I think we'll be lucky if we see 3 to 4 or 5 families. And we actually cut back our hours as well. And so we were doing Mondays 2 to 3:30 and Thursdays, I think it was 5 to 6. And then we cut it back. So we're now Mondays 2 to 3, Thursdays. So we actually are not there at all anymore on Thursdays. Just wanted to give a little bit of context about specifically about our market in East Helena. And then a little bit more about some of our other programs. So every single week throughout the school year, we're distributing kid packs to every elementary school and middle school in Helena, East Helena, Lincoln, and Boulder. So that's on average about 1,200 kid packs that we're distributing for kids to have some nutrition over the weekend. We have a couple different senior specific programs. So if you're 60 and older and you meet a certain income requirement, we have a kind of a box of food that you can pick up at the end of the month. And then we also have some coupons that you can pick up at the beginning of the summer to use at the market here in Helena, the farmers market, or in East Helena, or I'm sorry, in Helena. To buy fresh fruits and vegetables. And then kind of to serve that more urgent, immediate need for food. We have similar to a kid pack, it's called an emergency snack pack. And we drop those off with a few different places in Helena that see people kind of as they go through appointments, or maybe they're on their way to Helena Food Share or to the shelter in town and just need something to get them through until that next time that they can get food. A little bit kind of about more about what we do inside the market in Helena. So in our current building, we actually have ready-to-eat meals. So we make some like entrees, soups, salads, things like that, stuff that we're able to salvage from food that is donated, and then put that out in the market. We have what's called a Charlie Cart. So it's kind of this little mobile kitchen, and do food demos. We actually sample different things off of it as well, just trying to make different foods a little bit more accessible or friendly. We have a Harvest of the Month program, so we like to highlight different Montana products once a month, and then we like to, do the samples, maybe do some different recipes around it, and really just like kind of push something, change it up once a month. And we have called our demonstration garden, or sometimes the outdoor classroom. So just kind of part of our commitment to providing education as well as the best possible product we can, best nutrition. So we actually have a garden on our property that we don't lock, and we really encourage people to come in and harvest or plant if they want to. And people do, there seems to be a lot of ownership there. And then once a year we do a summer lot party, so we encourage all of our customers to come celebrate with us and just share a meal and talk and just get to know each other. That's always an incredibly fun event. And then we also do every November and December we do a kind of bigger holiday meal sign up and distribution. So that's kind of around Thanksgiving and Christmas. So that's kind of really broadly what we do at the market in Helena. And then thank you, if you don't mind.
In case you haven't had the opportunity to know where our building is, it's on the corner of Montana and Lyndale and Helena, just Malfunction Junction in Helena. We're right there. So we're pretty visible now to the community. We've seen an increase in the number of customers coming to the market for several reasons. One is it's more visible. Also, because it's a much larger space, there's three pictures there on the bottom. It's much easier to get around the market now. We can offer services to more customers at a time, so it's just a lot easier. More people say, well, this just feels normal to me, so more people are coming. But also, of course, the need has grown over the last year considerably. But basically, we have about three times the area, the shelving, and cooler space than we had in our previous building. That's amazing. I wanted to share a quote here. This is, we get a lot of great feedback from our customers, and this was right after we opened, just about bringing integrity and dignity to a situation that's difficult for people. Thanks, Amy. And then one of the other key areas that Kara mentioned was our kitchen. We do rescue food from every grocery store in Helena Valley, food every day of the week, work week. We bring that back, and food goes out directly into the market, or we do have one staff member who manages the kitchen with a big crew of volunteers to take that food and make soup, salads, and you can smell it in the case. There's some entrees there being prepared and in the case. So that's made a huge difference for people to have ready to make meal or ready to eat meals. And about 75% of all of those meals that go out are from the rescued food that we get from grocery stores. We're on target for about 2,200, 22,000 meals in this first year that we're open with the kitchen. So that's just a real quick look at what's new at Helena Food Share.
And then just wanted to focus a little bit more on what's happening here. So grocery share services provided here in East Helena at the East, sorry, the East Helena Mobile Pantry and East the Helena Market. So we basically polled people with a 59635 address, and it's 8% of all of our grocery share services. And really just wanted to honor, the fact that our customers are across this entire valley, which includes both Helena and East Helena. I think a lot of people, when they think of Helena Food Share, really just think of Helena, and but just want to honor that. And we have a map as well that we can give a good kind of picture of what that looks like. And then kind of those kid packs that we talked about, so this would be for all of last school year. I think we had somewhere around, I have to do the math, I think it was around 42 or 44,000 kid packs that we distributed through the school year. And about 11% of those, or 4,840 of them, came here to the East Helena schools. And then again, with our senior commodity program, 178 senior commodity services here in East Helena. So about 11% of all of our senior commodities are actually happening here in East Helena. And then kind of the other side of that, certainly want to honor the fact that we also have a lot of people that support us that live here as well. And so Patty mentioned our grocery rescue program, where we go to every single grocery store, and the East Helena IGA is a part of that. And so last year we collected just over 8,000 pounds of food. And a lot of that, we actually do that rescue right before we go to the, I always want to call it the East Helena Pantry, but we switched to calling it the East Helena Mobile Service. And so we actually pick up and then we go there. And so a lot of that food actually does get redistributed directly and immediately to people who need food. Whatever doesn't get used comes back to the Helena market and will usually just gets immediately used there. And then 213 East Helena residents who financially or donate food as a way to support Helena Food Share. And then this is, we've been calling this a heat map of the valley here, so the broader area around Helena and East Helena. And each of those little purple hexagons, is that all right? It's been a while since I've taken a geometry class. But each one of those purple hexagons actually represents 1 to 35 households that we serve. The blue is 36 to 68 households, and then the yellow, sorry, the green, 69 to 102. And then there's a couple kind of in the downtown Helena area that are darker than that, so higher density areas, some of those congregate living areas that we're serving. But kind of as you can tell, we just have this incredibly broad presence in this valley, and just about every single area in Helena, East Helena, and the surrounding communities has people that rely on Helena Food Share, sometimes a weekly basis, sometimes monthly, sometimes just once a year for a holiday box. But this would kind of encompass all of those different services. For anonymity's sake, we wanted to, we didn't want to pinpoint addresses, but try to give a good idea of where our customers are and kind of where the need is.
Nick, this is just the follow-up quote. That's the importance of food share, that we're here for anybody who needs it. And people are in great need at this time.
I really appreciate you guys giving us this time to talk about what we do. And
oh, and we do have tours of the new building every Wednesday at 11:30. So we have anybody here to come visit us on a Wednesday. We'll take you around the whole building. It's really, really interesting. So, but we'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Well, I don't have a question. I'd like to say thank you guys for coming out and taking the time to inform us. Obviously, your mission is super valuable and affects a lot of people in our community. So let us all know, and people here that deal with people that could be needing your services. It's always good to know kind of what that entails. So thank you.
I have one question. On your sheet here, you have the schools. Bradley's not listed. Are they getting it, or are the schools distributing it amongst them to get them to Radley also, or is that they are all getting them in East Helena schools? Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, we really do donate every single LL school and middle school.
Does that go up into the rural areas as well? Are you all reaching up to Wolf Creek and Canyon Creek and
We
You're getting to
do.
all of those schools as well.
To go to Canyon Creek. We don't right now. We're not serving Wolf Creek, and then we also serve Boulder and then Basin. They kind of redistribute to Basin, and then Lincoln as well. But yeah, that's kind of as right now the extent of our reach.
Yeah, it's a big reach, so that's great. And as we've talked about in the past, I would love to see something more in East Helena if and when the opportunity arises, and would appreciate any future conversations about that for folks.
Oh,
Just seeing the
absolutely.
decrease in the people that are taking advantage, but we have not seen a decrease in our population. And so knowing that they're hopefully getting served otherwise, but not knowing that. So, but thank you all for what you do.
You.
All right.
That's not right. Please take it.
That brings us to public comment. No, this is time set aside for public comment on all non-agenda items. If you have any new public comment that we haven't done here before, that would be the time. We have a reasonable time limit on that. But is there any other public? Is there any public comment on non-agenda items?
Dave Jensen, 401 West Gale. I see you've gotten this packet of pictures, so I'm just going to give you a little narrative and we're just going to blow right through these pictures. I've discussed the issue of airborne contaminant soil and dirt and nuisance vegetation from the West End town pump being consistently deposited on the West End residents' property for months and months and received a considerable amount of resistance and doubt from both the mayor and the public works director. As a direct result, I provided photograph one, which shows the dust storm. Photograph two shows the nuisance vegetation that grows up to 3 feet, 4 feet tall over there. And then the third photo is a picture of a vehicle that shows all the deposits on it on a regular basis. This provides the necessary proof of my previous statements and request action to be taken to address the still ongoing town pump site airborne contaminant soil and dirt, since there's lead in that dirt, and nuisance vegetation issue satisfactorily as soon as possible, since the residents have endured this situation long enough. Over the last several years, this mayor and the city council has approved an excessively high amount of East Helena residential funds to be paid to Robert Petrin and Associates to oversee various public works and projects, and also to this public works director, who's supposed to be ensuring that the oversight work that we perform was completed to the highest engineering standards and that the residents of East Helena received the best result as possible. In previous city council meetings, as public works director, have made several comments of the concrete issues that occurred on Pacific Street were previously brought by the mayor and several councils was a result of a limited number of Pacific Street residents utilizing ice melt. The following photos show a different story. Photo four shows concrete spalling prior to the asphalt overlay being laid down in the summer. So that was months before even a bit of snow even fell. Photos five and six show a couple of excess full width cracking of the sidewalks. Many more exist on Pacific Street. Photos seven and eight show a couple of retaining wall cracking and excessive voids in the concrete. Many more cracks exist, and there's hundreds of feet of concrete voids. And then photo nine shows excessive voids in the concrete due to missing concrete during the pour. These are all construction oversight issues that should have been addressed at the time of construction or shortly thereafter and fixed within the last couple of years. Photo 10 shows pavement damage from a contractor who was performing work on East Clark Street but storing material and equipment on Thurman Avenue South. This overlay of seal and cover was just completed. The overlay was completed the year before, and the seal and cover was just completed in 2024. 11 shows, you can look at that. You can show where the seal and cover has been ripped off. You can see gouging in the pavement and just a total destruction of that piece of brand new road that was paved, that was an excessive amount to do. And then 12 shows where one of their equipment must have broke or something and dumped all the oil on there, where they just left it and drove off and left it. Photos 13 shows you can see a kind of a concrete chunk outline. This shows at a location on 100 block of East Riggs where a recent seal and cover was completed, but then was cut, and a new section of pavement was placed down to address, according to the public works director, a safety concern. But since no soil compaction specification This specification was required. The new pavement section, which is photo 14, is worse than before the pavement replacement. You've got to get a pavement compaction specification for the soil that's under there. Otherwise, this is just going to keep happening. Then, even though he's telling the truck ordinance was acted last fall, it has not been enforced effectively according to the verbiage in the ordinance and has resulted in danger to Easttown, the residents, their property, the traveling public, and also extensive damage to the city's residential streets. Photo 15 shows a dump truck that travels on West Gale Street that bent excessively at a rate of speed that's excessive for a residential neighborhood and violates the truck ordinance consistently traveling eastbound in the westbound lane, which is the MCI violation, which the Easttown Police Chief has stated to me that he's okay with. Photo 16, as a direct result of the lack of truck ordinance enforcement, a different dump truck trailer combination was traveling eastbound in the westbound lane, which is an MCA violation. And almost then you'll see on 17, you see where he has to hit the brakes and veer. Lo and behold, he almost collides with a westbound pickup truck. This type of thing needs to get resolved. Photo 18 shows one oversight overload semi-truck trailer combination. There are several more configurations that have routinely traveled up and down West Gale Street and violate the truck ordinance every time. These overload and oversized require a permit, and they will just destroy the residential street. And then photo 19 shows, as a direct result of the West Gale Street truck traffic, the damage to a fairly recent pavement replacement at the intersection of 3rd and West Gale, which will fail prematurely and not complete a reasonable useful life. Many more failures are now on West Gale Street due to the same truck traffic and will have to be addressed prematurely in the future. You can see here where this is, looks wet. This whole road is dry, except when these big trucks, these overloads and these dump trucks go over it, especially the overloads and the oversize that I showed you in the previous picture. They're actually pulling the water up from the subgrade, which means it's going to fail here pretty soon. And you've got, I don't know how many locations on that. You've probably got at least 50, 60 feet just at that intersection that'll have to be replaced. Photo 20 shows, photos 20 and 21 show a couple more examples of a truck ordinance MCA violations that are occurring due to the lack of truck ordinance enforcement. The first one, which would be photo 20, is on Main Street. If you'll notice, that truck is parked in the yellow line. And you'll note to the right of that, you'll see that the westbound traffic has to veer into the eastbound West Main Street lanes in order to navigate. So you can see that that car is actually traveling westbound in the eastbound lane because this guy does this thing on a regular basis. He parks there and they unload into downtown there. And then photo 21 shows another example on East Porter. You can see on the left side, you'll see a massive cement truck, semi truck trailer combination on the left side of the photo. He's veering out of the way of that car. And you'll see on the right side, you'll see a concrete truck hitting the brakes. You'll see the dust and the skidding of that concrete truck trying to avoid this truck that should never be traveling on these residential streets. These are the type of examples I gave you guys last fall. I said we needed to address them. You needed to address them. I told you this stuff was going to happen, and it's happening. So we need to take some action, and hopefully you can do that and start saving the Easttown residents money, actually improving their quality of life and reducing the risk for their families. Thank you.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? Non-agenda items?
Sure.
I think I'm here with more questions probably than anything. I'm Bill Hoffman, 1890 Lucky Strike Road. I sit on the board of Sleeping Giant Pickleball Club, and for several years now, we've been using the Brickley Pear Elementary tennis courts in the summertime. Very appreciative, well used. We have 250 roughly dues-paying members in the club and probably 350 or 400 active players. On any summer morning, you can go by the courts out there, and there's any time from, you know, weekdays from 24 to 40 pickleball players a day. All of the facilities that we're using are, at this point, multi-use. Tennis, indoor courts are for basketball, volleyball, whatever else. And again, we're appreciative to have them, but we don't have as a dedicated facility. So at some point, we're looking at the possibility, whether it's in Helena or East Helena, acquiring some land, building a facility with indoor and outdoor courts. And so I, you know, I'm throwing out the idea, if anybody's aware of a place in East Helena, we're looking. I came to the ASARCO presentation a couple of weeks ago, and there is a 22-acre parcel there. It's probably far bigger than our needs, and probably, honestly, far more expensive than we're prepared to outlay for it. But as a as an entity, if East Helena has any interest in a municipal facility, boy, pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the country, and particularly, ironically, in the 18 to 44 age bracket, all of whom are voters. So they, you know, we certainly would welcome any ideas. And if there's a park and rec community, if I could get any contact information, I'd sure appreciate that too. I mean, we really like being able to come into East Helena to play. I think we continue to folks that used to play in Helena and honestly find it a whole lot friendlier venue over here, and just a great, you know, and, you know, let's face it, we stop and buy coffee, and, you know, when we play in the afternoons, we'll stop in and have a beer or pizza or get food too. So a lot of our members reside here between here and Outdoor Lake. So again, we're appreciative of it, but if anybody has any suggestions or ideas for, you know, a contact, I'd be more than happy to follow up with them. So.
Cool.
Thank you.
Little backstory on that. We have had internal discussions, every budget season, regarding some pickleball courts. We do also rent out our internal facility here for pickleball usage at least once a week, maybe.
Yeah. No, Carl Schweitzer's taught lessons here.
Yeah. We limited income for such things.
And we're appreciative of that.
Yeah, as well. We try to
bring more new players in.
We are aware that it is a growing sport, and there's some people that, in this community that enjoy it. So.
Yep. Good. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
That's our committee.
I like it, Paul. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bald guys, our committee there. He said, "Sorry, I was not very scripted, but we sit next to each other." Is there any further public comment? All right, seeing none, I will bring us to the approval of the minutes. In front of you have both the September 16th and September 25th minutes. I would hear any public comments on the September 16th minutes.
I'll move to approve.
Seeing none, council, move motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All of them in favor?
Aye.
All right. And is there any public comment on the September 25th minutes? Seeing none, council.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All of them in favor?
Aye.
All right. In front of you have a city court report, I believe, laying out the receipts and payments. Court was out of session last week, but due to family stuff for the judge, we're back at it this week. And hopefully Suzanne was nice to Scott when he got home on Monday night because he was busy.
No.
Yeah. He looked very busy on Monday. He's like, well, this wasn't the day I had to write checks. So, yeah. You know, when you take a week off, people come in, and he was doing great. Okay, that brings us to Department of Courts. Amy, you're up.
I've got a whole lot. We met with Drenda Neiman with the Health Department Thursday about the flyer, about the neighborhood parties they're thinking of doing. Doesn't really require much from the city. They just needed to know the logistics of having anything like that. Far fewer permits to get here than there are in Helena. But they're just trying to get neighbors to know each other for emergency purposes and curbing the loneliness problem. So hopefully we can see some of those happen next year. And then in the packet, I included some information we received about the Greater Helena MPO.
What are you thinking, Wes? Party with your neighbors?
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
That was a block party.
No, yeah. I mean, all your neighbors, the general area.
Oh, sure. No, they're all great. For $50,000, too. Oh, no, that's the amount of people. Sorry.
Yeah.
Thanks, Amy. All right. Next up is one that's be a rough one for me. You're up to you.
Evening, everybody. Just continue on to what the mayor was saying about court yesterday. It was an hour and 25 minutes of solid work. It was very lengthy, very busy. As we were in the month of September, we had an all-time high for calls for service, 587. And during that month, we had one officer that was off for 2 weeks hunting. A lot of calls for very few people. September 26th, we participated in the high school homecoming parade, as we do every year. October 1st, we hosted a Coffee with a Cop event at coffee shop downtown, Galaxy Roasting. Had a great turnout that day. And then later on in the morning, we escorted the golf team out of town on the way to the state tournament. And then you've got a little printout from that's in the packet, but just this past weekend, Officer Kyle Butler received a great shout out from a citizen that he pulled over for a traffic offense and had autistic child in the car, and she really commended his actions on how he dealt with the kid in the car and everything else. I mean, that's great for all of us and great for the city and whatnot. And then a big shout out to Deputy Chief Boyce. He just completed a 6-month online leadership training course. It was over 400 hours. That doesn't count the amount of hours that he spent writing papers and doing a lot of other stuff. I mean, it's a very labor-intensive leadership course for law enforcement. It's through Northwestern University Center for Public Safety. It's called the School of Police Staff and Command. But police leaders go to that or attend that course worldwide. Congratulations on finishing that this weekend. That's it. Little extra free time on his hands now.
Just a little.
Congratulations on making it through the marathon. That's all I have.
Stay up there. You're not done. Also in this, you have Chief's letter here. I think Chief does a great job of laying out the 4 years of work and where we are. We've had our private discussions, but publicly I want to say this city owes you a debt of gratitude and is super appreciative of your efforts. It's again well laid out in your letter where we were, the work that was put in, and where we are now. We were getting East Town community shout outs about officers being nice to autistic kids 4 years ago. So
or to anyone. And any officers.
In your line of work, it's hard to get any sort of, but you know, they say one negative interaction is equal to 100 good ones. Personally, I've spoken with you, know where I stand with your efforts, but I publicly, I want to make sure that you understand the city itself is in a better place because of you. Secondarily, are we to expect you to be wearing Northwestern purple now, not Duke blue?
No.
Okay, because I'm just curious, because you're now like a Northwestern grad of some degree. You're not going to give up on the Duke stuff.
Duke blues.
Duke blue. Just checking. Christmas is coming
out tonight. Oh yeah.
But again, and I'll turn it over to the council. I think they probably would like to express their appreciation of you as well.
Well, it's been an honor and my pleasure as well. It's been a lot of fun out here. It's been a lot of work, but I think we can all now see the fruits of the whole team in this room and the other employees that aren't here in the room that had a big part. It takes an army to be successful, and I think this is a great example of how everybody working together to provide the best services we can to the people who live and work here in East Helena. It can be done. But thanks to all of you to make East Helena a success that is that it is. So thank you. Better off.
All right. We'll move on to Kevin. You got to follow that.
Thanks. My own tasers or guns or nothing.
Yeah. So you guys have my report. Just a couple things. We had a water call out today. I think Vigilante Subdivision is jinxed, but we had another service line and gas line hit by contractors out there today. We might be going on a dozen water hits out there. I don't know what's up with it, but appreciate you guys working through that. I did have a meeting with DEQ early this afternoon. They'll be out Friday to do our sanitary water inspection. I think it'll go fine. The guys are doing a great job. The well systems are in great shape. Again, this is kind of our OSHA inspection, I guess, for lack of a better way to describe it. So I'm sure there'll be a little screen or something that we've missed somewhere, but I feel positive about that. So that's Friday morning. If you haven't been by Main Street Park, the guys got all the tables replaced. So all those old rotted wood picnic tables are out of there and new concrete tables are in. It looks really good. We got some dirt settling issues to take care of around the concrete slabs themselves. And then the next task down there is to start trimming some trees in the park itself and along the crypt to open that back up a little bit. But the tables and stuff look fantastic. So shout out to Moco Construction for being awesome partners with the city. And they're just great to be with. Again, I know we talked about this before, but I'm getting quite a few calls on it. October 16th and 17th, Helena Sand will be in to fix some spots on Valley Drive, also do some widening on Wiley Drive. And there's half a dozen patch repairs they're doing in town. We submitted. I did not get a response, surprisingly, since the government is shut down. But we did resubmit all of the final comments on the build grant to Federal Highways. So hopefully that goes good. We did have a meeting with them last week, I think. Anyway, their hope was that by December we would have signed agreements with them, which will be fantastic if it moves along that fast. That was just his gut feel. If we can have that, if we can do it by even the first part of the year, unfortunately, it still kicks us into summer of 27 being probably earliest construction, but we'll go ahead as quick as we can. And then just a local thing here at City Hall. So unfortunately, we had the state come out and do the boiler inspections downstairs. With Precision Heating and Air Conditioning is who does our boiler maintenance and weekly inspections for us. Kevin, I'm going to pronounce the last name wrong, but it's Irian, I think. Anyway, number three boiler. For years, they've been saying that internally it's getting pretty rusty. It finally failed. It's not able to be put into service. So we're working on getting some estimates on a boiler replacement. We have $35,000 set aside in capital from the previous years for that replacement. I'm hoping that covers it. We also have enough maintenance money. I think we'll be fine either way. The good thing is the other two passed fine. They're still in service. And historically, that third one is just a backup. So when it's really cold, and we're talking like 20 below, that's when we two boilers have to run to heat the place. You know, when it's, you know, just 90% of the year, we just run on one. So we'll be okay. We'll get through it. We'll get a price on it. And figure that out, but it failed. I think he said they're 47 years old, so we got quite a bit of life out of it.
Good work putting money in paper boilers the last few years.
Yes. Luckily, good job for approving the budget that you did. That we have the money set aside for that. So, any questions other than that stuff, y'all?
The new ones won't last near that long, I bet.
Oh, low pressure boiler lasts a long time, right?
I don't know. Okay, sit down. Appreciate y'all.
The panels look great.
It's disconnected.
All right, Chief Campbell.
Everybody. So a few things for September. Call volume was kind of down for us, which is a blessing because we were all really busy doing other things. We had a total of 12 calls. All of them, except for two, were medical calls of some nature. We were really high on advanced life support calls this month, which is really odd for us. Usually it's the lift assist, then the yellow. So the other thing we're looking at, some new things we're looking at. First of all, this is one of my new firefighters. This is Nick Callum. He works for DPHHS. He's in charge of our licensure inspection for our EMS license that we carry for the department. He came on board. He lives in town, which is great for us. He lives in the new apartments on the end of Helen. So we welcome Nick. He is an AEMT, so he helps us out with our more advanced stuff. Along with Nick, he has introduced us to a new thing. It's called Image Trends. And what it is currently we do patient care reports on paper, and we're looking to get away from that and come into the modern century like most of the other departments in the Valley. It's an electronic program where we can do our patient report right on a tablet or like a netbook. And then as soon as St. Pete's shows up, we just transfer directly into their machine. And then we can store those in a secure cloud, and then we can send those right to the state instead of having to maintain all those paper copies until they come down and do our license inspection. So it'll be a good thing for us. The other thing we talked about, and it hasn't been discussed for a couple of years, and I don't know what happened. I wasn't the chief at the time, and I was kind of not involved with it, is we have a very large spot on the west side of our building that has just like a blank white wood. There used to be a garage door there in the old days. But we would like to paint a mural on that of some sort. And so I believe it was brought to the council in the past. It was approved, and then something happened. I don't know what, but we would like to move forward with that again, get the high school involved as well. Maybe get some more students to help us out with that as well, provide all the supplies and everything they need. I know it's getting kind of late in the year for that, but we can figure something out. So I'll be putting together something as soon as I get a hold of the school and bring it to you guys as a formal presentation. We've been pretty busy this last month. We did homecoming parade. We would have had more involvement, but we discovered as we went to start one of our trucks that it was dead. It was an emergency repair that I had to take care of. So we were in the homecoming parade. We did have a truck down at the 9/11 remembrance event at Albertson's on North Montana. Nick and B and Zion were down there for that. It was a great event. We handed out a lot of stuff, talked to a lot of people. A lot of people stopped by and, you know, appreciated how much us and law enforcement and everybody was out doing what we do, thanking us. So we're not always the bad guy. We also did
The football games.
Yeah, we've been doing medical coverage for the JV brought the Frosh and JV football games. We were asked to do that. The varsity games are done by St. Pete's, and that's per the school's contract. Where we work with the trainer on site, Eric. It's a good thing for us. I did have the opportunity to meet with the mayor and with Stephanie about the Christmas stroll. I think things are going to be just fine. We just identified some areas of concern where we would like to keep people out of so that we don't have any issues. I don't think it's going to be a disaster. I think it should be a lot of fun. She was more than receptive to the areas that I wanted to kind of block off so that we couldn't have like directly in front of the elevator or like right next to the stairs, just places where there's an identified hazard that we can deal with. We also have coming up the Halloween trick-or-treat the end of this month. We are going to participate in that as well. I was contacted today by a lady from the Moose Lodge, and she inquired about it. I didn't have a whole lot of information. Told her she was going to come down and set up the contact with probably Amy. I don't know. I don't even know the times right now. I haven't gotten involved with that a lot. So I'll give it to this week and I'll send her the information if she wants to come down and set up for the Moose Lodge. They want to be involved in our community more on more, as well as other things that we do. That's pretty much it for us at the fire department. Scooting right along.
We have a truck or treat again?
He hasn't mentioned it.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't heard anything. Okay.
Any questions for us at the fire department? Thanks everybody for your support. And if you don't mind, we're gonna head out. We have training tonight. Thanks everybody.
All right, that brings us to new business. First item of new business is a request to place a memorial park bench along Prickly Pear Creek. Pat and Eva Burton, I'm not going to get that right.
Burton Ollie.
Sorry.
No problem whatsoever. You were close.
My Sicilian is bad. I'm Irish and God.
No worries at all. So do you want me, you guys can hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll just jump right in. Well, good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Patrick Bertinoli, and I'm joined by my wife, Eva, who was born in Helena and raised in East Helena. This is her hometown. Though we now live in North Dakota, East Helena is where we raised our family. All three of our children attended school here and graduated from Helena High School, and this community continues to hold a very special place in our hearts. We were in Montana last week visiting family throughout the state, including East Helena, as part of marking the 1 year anniversary of losing our son Brady. It was a meaningful time for reflection, and we're grateful we were able to spend part of it in the places that shaped his childhood. We'll admit we're a little envious that you now have the new East Helena High School. What a wonderful addition to a proud and growing community. Truly impressive. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you tonight. We deeply appreciate the hospitality and grace shown by everyone we've worked with leading up to this moment. As mentioned earlier, our son Brady passed away last October while attending medical school at St. George's University in Grenada, West Indies, in Indies. As a child, he spent countless hours at the Prickly Pear Creek playing, fishing, and simply enjoying the outdoors. That creek and JFK Park are part of his story. They're places that hold joyful echoes of his spirit, and we feel it's the right place to honor him. We're here tonight to respectfully request approval to purchase and place a memorial bench in Brady's honor. Public Works Director Kevin Orr graciously met with us last week and helped us identify a beautiful location along the trail at JFK Park, overlooking the Prickly Pear Creek, pending your approval. We feel this spot is perfect, peaceful, reflective, and close to where Brady once played. Kevin also connected us to Mokel Precast, who makes the preferred low maintenance concrete benches for East Helena. We had a wonderful conversation with Alicia there and let her know we'd be in touch following tonight's meeting. We're especially grateful to Council Member Wes Feist, whom I first met in Dallas at a Region 4 workforce meeting in 2023. Council Member Feist kindly guided us through the process, provided the necessary forms, and introduced us to your City Clerk, Amy, who helped us get on tonight's agenda. From Council Member Feist to Amy to Kevin to and Alicia, each person has met us with grace and generosity, and we are truly thankful. If the bench is approved, we plan to host a spring barbecue at JFK Park, a gathering that brings together our family from across Montana, former neighbors, and Brady's friends and peers. We'd work with the city to reserve the pavilion and make it a meaningful celebration of connection, remembrance, and community. In closing, this bench would be more than a memorial. It'd be a quiet invitation to remember, reflect, and honor a life well lived. It would allow others to pause and feel the presence of someone who loved this place deeply. We thank you for considering our request. If approved, we'd follow through with Mokel Precast and coordinate respectfully with the city. We're grateful for your time, your care, and your commitment to this community. And this time, we'd stand for any questions that you may have.
All right, thank you. Is there any public comment on the request? Seeing none, council.
I've appreciated time getting to know you and Eva, Patrick, and thanks for visiting with us. I'll move to approve the bench for the Bertinoli family.
Motion to approve.
I'll second it.
In a second, all of the favor.
Aye.
There you go.
Bench away.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Our family's going to be asleep. And thank you to Kevin's for all your help.
Kevin will be available. And you have his number, I'm assuming.
Yep. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, Patrick.
All right. Second order of business, 701 East Lewis encroachment permit application. Will and Rachel Gold. They're not here. Right? Oh, yeah, online.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in front of you have the permit request. Maybe anything super of note in there.
No,
I don't
an
need.
existing one with property change.
Yeah, this is just
An
a
updated agreement.
standard change of ownership from a request. Nothing, I didn't see anything notes.
Well, existing wood fence that if it's torn down, they can't put it back, but
Right.
it still stands. It's in good condition, and we have a lot of that.
Kevin monitors the fences around now. He's always out to get ours. He's got his eyes on the one up front now. Anyway, is there any public comment on the request? Council.
I move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, next up is the METG exempt survey boundary line relocation. You can look at the survey in front of you. We have, this is from Staley here as well, Representative Staley, who would cover this, but this is basically readjust the tracks for the water tank property, right?
Yeah, so it's two things. So one, I forgot to set up the table this afternoon because I got busy, but there's my large map assigned. Okay. But it's the parcel six, which is below our water tank. So it's two things. It's a boundary line readjustment that increases the amount of property that is for sale by METG, which directly does relate to water rights issues. However, that is part of it. And then it also separates the additional 5 acres for that upper pressure tank that will be dedicated to the city. Don't leave till I...
There's someone online with a comment?
Yeah, no, it's Cindy Brooks from METG and available to answer any questions.
I said you're welcome.
City Councilman.
This is pretty straightforward. Obviously, we need the chunk of land for the water tank for the operator zone to move forward. And this is the boundary line relocation to that end.
Correct.
Any public comment on it? Seeing none, council.
Staley presenting any of this? Are they just here for questions?
I think you're just here for questions, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think there's a whole lot to this one, though.
I will move to approve the boundary line relocation.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Right. Next up, and this is the tough order of business. Do we really want to keep Pete around or not?
He's got to start showing up.
Do we have at least like a 5 minute before the council meeting starts? Like,
perfectly. Yeah, I have a 16.
Yeah. So this is, of course, just the every 2 years, I believe, we have this contract, the 2 year contract, and for that term. This is for the wage already approved in the budget, and there's nothing new built in the contract.
Been here for 10 years, and I would like to stay if you all have me.
Is there any public comment on the proposal to renew City Attorney Elverum's contract? Seeing none, council.
We'll approve it.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We moved through the new business pretty soon.
We love you, Pete.
I'm here already.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And flies when you're having fun, right?
He has some glamour shots left over from his campaign if we need some material for that mural down there at the. Yeah.
It won't keep the fire away.
Some glamour shots, though. I mean,
the fireman away.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Wow. All right. This is fun stuff. As you guys know, we've faced with getting a new garbage truck, and that is an expensive endeavor. To that end, we put it out for bid. We have one bid for the garbage truck we want. It's in front of you. It happens to be slightly less than we budgeted by $36,000, including transportation here. We have one bid, and the goal here is to have you accept the bid so we can get a garbage truck. Slightly bigger, not a great deal bigger than the one we have, but slightly bigger and meets our needs. So we put it out there, and that is the bid we received. Any public comment on the selection of a garbage truck? Not fair.
None of the pricing. Did you just open bids? How much are you? What's the bid? What's the levy?
Well, I think it's $340,000 with transportation. $340,000, $344,000 with delivery. We budgeted $380,000. Any other public comment?
We did go through the public notification and bidding process. It's over an $80,000 purchase. We published in the newspapers, gave folks an opportunity. I think this truck, to Kevin's specifications, meets our needs.
And this is brand new, right? So all the parts work?
One for the first day.
There's a warranty.
There was a lot of moving parts on a garbage truck in a not awesome environment. So one thing I will say about this garbage truck is several other cities have in our immediate area have ordered multiple of this very type. So that is good for a couple of things. One is availability of parts. Two is familiarity if you ever do have jump into another one. And three is that, you know, the mechanics are out here work on.
The one thing I didn't, is it our turn?
It's your turn.
The one thing I didn't see on here is the way the garbage truck picks up the garbage. Where is that on?
Side load.
I know. I don't see that anywhere.
Oh,
I didn't even see that in the specifications.
Oh, it's a side load. Yeah.
So it's a side load garbage truck. Exact same as ours. Just far. I don't want to say far less moving parts, but less moving parts than other brands. So yeah, looking at it, you really can't tell the difference.
I did just notice that in the. I may be missing something in the numerous acronyms, but I didn't see the sidearm lift on it.
Yep. It's a sidewinder, which is...
It does imply that on the side, that it would be a sidewinder, so... but
Pete's glamour shuffle the side of the garbage.
Oh, boy. That's more fitting.
Pete's refuse.
That was...
All right. You don't have any public comments? Is your council is up to you, unless you guys have another one you want to pick.
And how long? I forget its prices in here. How long can I get it?
They don't drive it. It's from far away, too. So it's
far, far away.
Well, West Fargo is
Fargo's a ways away.
It is West Fargo,
but West Fargo.
It's Fargo. Right. Yeah, well, that's Minnesota.
Rocky's arm would be worn out if he's driving through.
Oh, man. He's proficient waver. He learned that. Colton, the waving.
All right. I'll move to approve the garbage truck.
I have a motion to select the bid for the garbage truck.
I'll second.
In a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next up is the West Riggs Overlay of Street Project. As you know, we kind of done a few streets. Me and Kevin, mostly Kevin, went around and found the streets that were bad. We found a couple that were worse than this, but unfortunately, those are got projects coming on. So we didn't select those ones, and I'll let Kevin speak to it further.
Yeah, so the proposal in front of you beyond the path work that Hell in the Sand is doing is to mill and overlay the 300 and 400 block of West Riggs. We did look at Pacific Street behind the VFW, which is in very bad shape. We also looked at Prickly Pear, which leads to between Main and Porter Street going to the post office, which is in bad shape. Both of those streets over the next couple of years with sewer infrastructure projects will be torn up and have to be repaved. So to spend funds on those to rip them back up seems kind of silly. The only other street we looked at is Cleveland Street between Gale and up to Riggs is in probably some of the worst shape, but versus the amount of traffic that that side street sees versus Riggs, which is really one of the primary routes in town, our recommendation to approve those two blocks are in very rough shape. There are multiple patches and stuff. If you guys are willing to approve that, it also fits in. They're going to mill and widen Wiley Drive at the same time. So it works out well. And all of this is planned next weekend, probably into the summer, depending on how fast they go. So happy to answer any questions.
Is there any comment on the request?
The only comment I have is in your bid documents. Why are you guys referencing Lewis and W Street a couple times?
Originally, we looked at Lewis a little bit. Well,
it's just because they didn't take it. It was, and how long it's bid that they included their project on Lewis and W, but some of them were better. So we just didn't pick it out of their intensive verbiage. So it should have been weeks.
Yeah.
And just to give you guys an old, that'll leave us about $100,000 in gas tax money, plus the $50,000 in emergency savings. So what Mayor Harris and I have talked about is that, you know, we'll obviously have that remaining fund for future work. But then in this next year, if we set aside about another $58,000, I believe, don't quote me exactly on that, that'll give us about $600,000. Towards Valley Drive improvements if those bids come in higher, which to me, $600,000 is a pretty good cushion for contingency money. We'll just have to see as we go through that project. But it's to say that we have $600,000 in funds that we can contribute to that, do this, and have $150,000 still in gas tax money for other repairs. We're doing okay. So
just continuing on trying to get some... block of overlay everywhere as the years go by, but
Valley Drive is obviously priority when it comes up. So saving that money too.
Okay.
Council.
I'm not to approve.
Oh, you got to approve that
part. I have a motion to approve. And
I'll second
it. In a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That brings us to the mayor's report. The mayor's actually, it's been pretty mellow. Internal, like, you know, just the normal management day. Obviously, you can see we've been discussing roads and we had a lot of back and forth. And I'd like to throw a shout out here to Pete. The water rights letter that was a bit of an animal, and Pete put a lot of time and effort. And I think I've had a couple candle burners, I don't know, but right words mattered there. I was really proud of the product we came out with. A lot of different voices in the room, so it wasn't perfect maybe, but it was well written and it was a good response. That there was a lot of work on that. So that's basically the gist of what I've been up to. And that's me just reading what Pete writes a lot. But yeah, that's it. Any questions? All right, Council Member Dahl.
I attended the METG open house. And we had a planning board and for Rhodes Hills, which will be coming, I think, probably next week to the council. And we had the water rights meeting. That's it.
All right. Councilor Lieber.
I attended the METG also, and I think that was it.
Did we all get a free pizza?
I think so.
I didn't even see you there. You were in the hallway.
I did not get a free pizza.
No one did.
The pizza was on the inside.
Hmm. You had to go in to get a piece.
They had a lot of vegetables on them, though. They didn't. No bucks did.
So. Doesn't belong on pizza. I did attend the METG open house, but got no pizza. Attended the special meeting, and we had a MOAT meeting. So the Lewis and Clark Montana Opioid Abatement Trust, for which I've chaired this year. You'll all decide if you want me to stay on it next year or somebody else. I'm happy to do so, and I'll have to bring that to a future council meeting for January. But went well. We had 7 applications total. We denied a few of them because they didn't really fit the bill. Some were looking for statewide support, and the statewide moat for all of the regions around the state isn't quite together yet. So we're trying to focus on this community and this county. But we did approve a renewal for St. Pete's. They're doing a project called No Wrong Door. And it's been a big success. And so we did approve to renew that project in Florence Crittenton Home to help young women and families with treatment for opioid use disorder, as well as prevention. And we are seeking applications, especially in the youth prevention world. So I'll just put that out there. And otherwise, with my new role at Northwestern Energy, I saw in your update that you had 12 lampposts. I did a ride along with one of our electric guys. And we did a lot of the fixing. I did nothing. I shouldn't say we. He did a lot of the, and one comment that always makes me proud to be in East Helena, but that you guys go around and tag light posts is so helpful to them. And just he was commenting about how much he appreciates East Helena and working with Jared and you. So always good to hear that. But it was fun to, they called and said, would you like to ride in East Helena today? I said, that couldn't be more perfect. Be happy to. It was fun. So anyway, a lot of those lights got fixed.
Benefits of being small. It's pretty hard to drive through hell and each light post, but we still have the ability to do that.
And they much prefer coming. They like coming out here. So it's cool.
Councilmember Ferguson.
Just the special meeting for water rights.
Right. Legal report, Pete.
As was discussed, we had a bit of a lull in court with a fluctuating schedule, so I appreciate the police department's flexibility with that. I'm hoping that the judge is okay. It's just been a tough couple months. I did attend the interim local government committee at the legislature where they talked about some of the struggles from the developer's perspective on the cost in coming in and developing and the responsiveness of some cities with bonding and SIDing parts of the infrastructure. And I just was able to at least interject and just give them a, for instance, of what is for what it would be like for a town like City of East Helena with $2 million annual budget to bond infrastructure for growth that we hope to happen, but a $12 million bond on something that is going to serve residents that aren't here yet is a large ask. So the hope is that, and it seemed pretty receptive in the room, is that there's some way to backstop those things on a someone with a larger budget than the City of East Helena, these local governments who are, I think we've been more than, I think the council and the mayor and just the staff, I think we work well with everyone who comes to the City of East Helena. I think you guys do a great job looking out for our residents while being receptive to requests, but there are limitations financially. There's limitations in statute currently on what we're able to bond. It's tied directly to our budget and percentages and things. But anyway, I just want you to know that folks are out there talking and considering these things. And I just had the opportunity and wanted to bring up how hard we're working in East Helena to be helpful while bringing them back into reality of one, statutorily limitations, and two, just fiscally, like the responsibility that we're trying to exercise while being receptive. So I wanted to mention that. I also did want to say the cats are looking awesome. The Grizz struggled this last weekend. The letter was a pure pleasure to write. It, I will say, John Bloomquist did have a heavy review on that, which took me a whole nother day to incorporate, but it would not have been the same without his comments. It was a group effort. I appreciate the meeting that we had. I think the shareholders or the beneficiaries of the trust, we received a response that they received it. There's a couple steps that we're going to need to start taking beyond that. But I'd be intrigued to hear if anybody else hears anything else. I've not had any direct communications other than they replied, they received it already. Okay. And that's that. I will be on vacation for the next week or so. And yeah, thanks for renewing my contract. I look forward to another 2 years.
Great. I have a question on the letter.
Yes, sir.
Are we waiting for a reply before we go public, or just a time limit? Or, I mean, I don't.
I would.
Currently discussing the discussion with the EPA there in their end of it first before we possibly go
Yeah, I mean, that we are waiting for some feedback from them.
We want to, like,
I
I
would
think we
think.
want to reach out to the EPA. That's kind of our next part.
Did receive a response, an email response from the Cindy at the trust to one aspect of the letter. And we can discuss that. It just simply was that it wasn't the state unilaterally deciding this. It was the trust group and they're just a beneficiary. I think that's quibbling on the details, given the tone of the letter we received from the Lieutenant Governor, seemed that it was a fairly unilateral decision on their part. So we replied in kind. But generally, I think that's a decision for the policymakers in the City of East Helena, meaning the council and the mayor, on how we proceed. I did make some calls this week from our meeting that Mr. Bloomquist is on the water rights issue. There's the other potential issue of just the how those things were transferred, and I need to circle back with John on that. But I did chat with some folks about trying to find someone who might be helpful in that arena.
And internally, we've been doing some digging as well. Amy has had Bree on me. Old minutes. So yeah. Well, gotta pay the bill. But before that, it's always good to be a struggling 5-0 and an awesome 3-2.
Oh, with your girls.
I'll motion to pay the bills.
Second.
In a second, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, with that said, I'll adjourn this meeting at 7:39.
Let me go get those forms. You're going to place them.
But yeah, it was the last game.
Oh, okay.
I will.